In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear fathers, dear brothers and seminarians, dear faithful, it's not too often that a priest here at the seminary has the opportunity to preach two sermons in succession. But such an opportunity has been provided me this week with the upcoming feast of our patron, St. Pius X. And since it is so important for us to be devoted to our patron, and that this year is in fact the centenary of the death of St. Pius X, I wish to devote two sermons to his person. The first one today, and the second one at the 10 o'clock Mass on Wednesday. Now, as with any great, enormous figure, someone presenting the life of someone like St. Pius X is at a bit of a loss. The task is too enormous, for the saint is larger than life. The best that can be done is to present this or that aspect of his person and hope that the audience gets some picture of the whole person by the presentation of the parts. Well, we know that our Lord says that where your heart is, there is your treasure. And I believe that this indicates to us that every man has to have some love in him. He has to have some predilections. And it is, in fact, the central love of his heart that really directs and explains everything that he does. And so when we try to plumb the heart of our sainted patron, I don't think it's too difficult to find what was burning in its depths. Precisely, it was an overwhelming love of God and an overwhelming love of nature, of neighbor, unlike popes who have come after him. So he had this love of God and love of neighbor that is in fact mentioned in the gospel today, the lawyer responding to our Lord as to what was the whole of the law, love of God and love of neighbor. To say this may seem obvious and even trivial, but I believe that it can be missed in the life of St. Pius X with all the hype about the many activities that he undertook. And for this reason, I wish to speak today about his love of God, and on Wednesday, I wish to speak about its effect, love of neighbor. Really, I believe that it was St. Pius X's great love of God that makes him our hero. There's a certain sadness that afflicts us at seeing all the causes dearest to our heart failing in an apostate Western world. God has been forcefully driven from the public sphere by the revolution. The highest places in the church have been occupied by secularized clerics. And civilization at large has descended into a sewer of base hedonism. And evil seems so triumphant, and the blindness that it engenders almost irremediable. And we are tempted to ask ourselves, isn't there anyone left around to stand up for the rights of God? Are there any fighters for the good? Must our age be one without champions? And then we look back at that great figure in white, that towering pontiff of 100 years ago who faced off against the same formidable forces that are in fact triumphant today, the one who himself said that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And what do we see when we look back? We see modernists cowering in fear. We see the immoral abashed at their behavior. We see heretics hesitating to voice their opinions. We see the good rallied around the peasant pope, young men and young women rushing to consecrate their lives to God and church, Catholics banding together in confraternities and guilds and political groups to fight the revolution tooth and nail. In short, we see this rock of a pope standing in gigantic proportions, a look of calm and fierce determination on his face, pushing forward, driving forward, step by step, into a world of darkness, with an entire army gathering around him, driving back all that is bad and wrong and evil in this world and in the world below. And as you know, this picture is not mere imagination. It's not far from the truth. It's accurate. And we say to ourselves, how can all of this be possible for one man? And the answer, quite simply, is because of his ardent love of God. It was because of something we call an interior life. This is why Pope Pius XII said of St. Pius X when he canonized him, "It was sanctity, even more than the supreme office he held, that made Pius X an outstanding hero of the Church, and as such today, the saint raised up by Providence for our times." And somewhat humorously, from my perspective, Pope Pius XII even says that it was his love of God that drove him to publish a new canon law. He says, "The wellspring of the legislative work of Pius X is to be looked for above all in his personal sanctity, in his profound personal conviction that the reality of God, which he experienced in a life of constant union, is the source and basis of all order, all justice, all law on earth. Where God is, there is order, justice, and law." So if the love of God, St. Pius X, was involved in his publication of canon law, it was involved in everything. St. Pius X was very conscious of his duty to love God and stand up for the rights of God, not so much as a man, but as a priest. In other words, he saw that he had to love God from a particular aspect, from the fact that he was a consecrated man, from the fact that he was ordained to lead others in the worship of God. Pius XII says, "First as a humble parish priest, then as a bishop, and finally as supreme pontiff, he was intimately convinced that the sanctity to which God called him was priestly sanctity." Pius X himself recalls in his priestly exhortation, Erant Animo, that the dignity of the priesthood demands sanctity, because priests do not exercise ministry in their own name, but in the name of Jesus Christ himself. So priests, above all, have a duty to love God so that they can fulfill their proper function of leading others to God. And this is why he said that if holiness is wanting in a priest, everything is wanting. You can have an advertiser who performs his advertising very well, and if he's not holy, it means nothing for his advertising. But when you have someone who by his very state must be holy, then if he is not holy, he quite simply does not fulfill his role. And since it's the goal of the Society of St. Pius X to do the things, all of the works necessary for the training of priests, to quote the Archbishop, and that the chief goal of the seminary where priests are formed is the priest's holiness, together with his sufficient knowledge, again quoting our founder. So this gives the reason why St. Pius X is our patron. He's both the model of priestly holiness and the model for those who form priests. It's certain that Pius X lived a priestly interior life to the fullest. Pius XII, in fact, called him the apostle of the interior life, and the bishops of the Piedmont region of Italy called him the Pope of the Supernatural. There was a French bishop who later became a cardinal, Monsignor Baudrillard, who visited St. Pius X every year from 1907 to 1914. And he had this to say about him: "A more spiritual man it would be hard to imagine. God will provide, which was ever on his lips, characterized the faith burning in his soul." People were often struck by the great recollection that they noticed in the Pope, even in the midst of many activities. It was a certain Monsignor said, he prayed with such deep recollection that sometimes it seemed that he left the earth in order to collect his thoughts in God. And indeed, it seemed as if Pope St. Pius X had a direct channel to God. There was a great continuity between his work and his prayer because of the fact that his work was just another form of prayer for him. But as with all the saints, the amount of time that he spent in prayer was immense. Several of his more intimate friends testified that they would frequently find him in his private chapel absorbed in prayer. And he prayed the most when he had a very big decision to make. On one occasion, he was trying to discern whether he should condemn the laic French state, the French state that was ruthlessly enforcing separation of church and state. And so he spent a whole night prostrate before the tomb of St. Peter, the first pope, begging for light. And later on, speaking of this episode to another, he uses language that reminds us of our Lord's agony in the garden. He said, no one can imagine how much I have suffered and prayed, but the Lord has strengthened and enlightened me. The point of all this is that St. Pius X had a very immense love of God that penetrated his being to the very depths. To quote one of his biographers, one of his many biographers, Father Dalgal, how ardent was his love for God. He took meticulous care to avoid every venial sin and imperfection. A shadow of inexpressible anguish came over his brow whenever he heard of scandal or grave offenses committed against God. His love of God was the root of his submission to and confidence in divine providence. His love of God was responsible for the angelic recollection with which he celebrated the holy sacrifice of the Mass. His love of God was the inspiration for all his thoughts and words. Now, we have one last thing to consider in treating this topic of St. Pius X's love of God, and this is how this love shaped his response to the crisis of the world that he lived in. Because the world that he became pope in was certainly in very bad shape. It's not just our own times that are rough times. His time were also very rough times. And you may know how in his first encyclical, he painted a very drastic picture of the world around him. He said, society is at the present time more than in any past age, suffering from a terrible and deep-rooted malady, which developing every day and eating into its inmost being is dragging it to destruction. And then later in the encyclical, he takes on an almost apocalyptic tone. He says that he wouldn't even be surprised if the Antichrist were walking on the earth at that time. This is his first encyclical, 1903, written when he got elected. What was the source of the problem? When he laid a finger on the problem, why was the world in such a crisis? And his answer was apostasy. Apostasy from God. And it was this turning away of the human race from God that rankles him, that irks his virility, that mobilizes his whole being into a fighting mode. God is not being given his due. Notice, I do not say that this is what motivated Pius X to have a great longing for chastisement. No, it's what motivates St. Pius X to do all that he can in his power to restore the rights of God. because he believed in God, he would fight for God. He says in the same encyclical, "We must use every means and exert all our energy to bring about the utter disappearance of the enormous and detestable wickedness so characteristic of our time, the substitution of man for God." And so he went about that. And he went about it with an energy and a determination that is absolutely astonishing. In a book released just this year about St. Pius X, in which in fact has a preface of Cardinal Burke, and was written by an SXPX parishioner, an Italian parishioner, Christina Sicardi, she says the following: "St. Pius X did not look for the approval of the Roman Curia, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, the faithful. And most of all, he did not look for the approval of the world. But always and only, he looked for the approval of God." And in his canonization decree, Pius XII corroborates this. He says, "Uniquely concerned that the inheritance of God be preserved intact for the flock confided to his care, the great pontiff knew no weakness when dealing with persons of dignity or authority, nor did he manifest vacillation when confronted with alluring but false doctrines within or without the church, nor did he betray fear lest he bring upon himself personal affronts and unjust interpretations of his pure intentions. He had the clear conviction that he was fighting for the most holy cause of God and of souls." And so, when we consider the immense activity of his 11-year pontificate, we can, and even we must, explain it from the perspective of his great love of God and his burning desire that God be given due honor by his own creatures. He stood for God. That is why he carried on the relentless fight against the savage heresy of modernism. That is why he communicated the Eucharist to Christ to children at the youngest age possible. That is why he stood up for the church's rights, why he reformed the liturgy, reformed the curia, established the biblical commission, printed a universal catechism. This, in short, was why he restored all things in Christ to the best of his power. And so, my dear faithful, this is why Pius X is our hero. He loved God with all of his heart. He stood for God with all of his power. And as a result, he triumphed over evil in a way that was far more than human. And if he is our hero, and he has every right to being our hero, then it is only just that we engage in a certain hero worship. We must seek to imitate St. Pius X, especially, primarily, in the greatness of his interior life. And so also, as a result, in the greatness of his exterior life. And let us not fail to mention before closing that if our patron had a very great love for God, he also had a very great love for God's mother. And he saw in her the great hope for the human race in the midst of its terrible trial. "Can anyone fail to see," he says, "that there is no surer or more direct road than Mary for uniting all mankind in Christ and obtaining through him the perfect adoption of sons, that we may be holy and immaculate in the sight of God?" And so, as we draw close to the feast of our patron, let us go to the Mother of God. Let us ask her for the grace of a very great interior life, a very great love for her Son, so that we may become her and his true apostles, like St. Pius X. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.